speaking on a message entitled Three Stages of Identity. Three Stages of Identity. I'm going to use several scriptures, and where we want to go with this is to find out just who you are in God. In the three stages it takes for us not to be saved, because that doesn't take three stages. I remember when I was in my first church, pastoring Kathy and I in Salida, California, this little rural town at this point, just north of Modesto. But when you cross the railroad tracks, you actually went back into about 1860. There was no mail delivery. Everybody met at the post office there, and they talked about each other and the town and everything. And the church was very old-fashioned, and you know, we had just gotten saved and given our heart to the Lord. We were radically saved, radically on fire like we are today. And we went from being hippies to our first church of going way back into the 1860s with a bunch of folks that, you know, used to shake their head and hairpins would fly, and people would give a Chris Hoot and all sorts of things. And it was just an amazing place, beautiful people. We had this gentleman there that wanted to teach Sunday school, so I let him teach Sunday school because, you know, we needed Sunday school teachers, and he was been there for a long time. And one day, one of the people in the Sunday school class came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I know you love to give people opportunity to grow and to just to be part of the work of God and use their gifts, or to find out if those gifts are actually working in them. But I don't want to talk about this man. And I said, well, thank you, neither do I. But I do have to tell you something, because I think that you need to know this. I said, okay, as long as we're not talking about anybody, you can just share with me what you think's going on. He said, today in Sunday school class, we were told that it takes 3 days to get saved. If Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, then we need to be 3 days to get saved. So I want to tell you that story to tell you that you don't need three stages of identity to get saved. You get saved, but you need to realize who you are in God, okay? I wanted to clearly get that all out in the open there so you understand what I'm saying. Let's go to 2 Samuel 7:18. And by the way, I did correct him about that, and everything moved forward pretty easily. Thank God. 2 Samuel 7:18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? The question, who am I, is what I want to talk about today, and bring into your spirit what I really believe the Holy Spirit has given unto me to give to you. Let's go to another scripture, and you don't have to turn all over. You can just listen to me, or you can go and find it in your iPad or phone or Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:10 in the Amplified Version says, but by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me. And I just really think that's great when we see David asking the Father, who am I? Who am I that these good things are happening to my life? You know, sometimes I think we go to God in a way, and we're human beings. Everybody needs to pinch each other, pinch yourself, and understand that, you know, sometimes we go to God only in desperation. And I'm not being negative there. It's just the reality of life oftentimes. In desperation, we cry out to God more than anything. And we don't go to God when things are going great, when God is put you in his house, is bringing you further into your destiny. just to speak to the Lord and say, you know, who am I that this is happening to me? You know, what's going on in my life that these blessings are there? Well, you know, but we want to always say to God, you know, oh God, I'm going through this tough time and you know who I am. You see, we're always telling God who we are. But I want to challenge you today by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to don't go to God and tell God who you are, but ask God who you are. What's my description? Who am I? And what's going on in my life? And be blessed by what God returns to you, how he speaks to your spirit. Also in Leviticus 18 and 3, it says, according to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. God is saying to the Israelites, I've delivered you. I've set you free. And wherever I'm taking you, I don't want you to hang out with the people in the land. I want you to listen to me. I want you to do what my word says, not what the people in the land do. What God is speaking to all of our hearts in that particular text is, I want your identity to be my identity. I want people to identify in you that you are my children, that you are born again, that you are a new creation, that you've been delivered. You're happy. You've been set free. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Who saved a wretch like me. Sometimes I think people sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Who saved the greatest person you ever saved. We forget that, you know, we are just what Paul said in Romans 7, at the latter end of the verse. Who can save? Who can help? Who can deliver? Who can heal? I mean, all these things is what he was saying in that verse. This wretched man that I am. I love Paul because he was able to just say, you know, the things that I do, I don't want to do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. I'm in trouble here. I need help. I need Jesus. Amen. And you know, he was looking for an identity. If you study the Bible, the men and women of God that walked with God were searching for an identity. Paul, on his road to Damascus that day, he had an identity of a murderer of the people of the way, imprisoning them, torturing them, standing there as Stephen was actually being stoned. He was standing there, and Stephen's clothes were at his feet. He was watching all that. His identity was that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most wisest teachers of that era, had a wealthy family, had the best of everything. He was a Roman, he was a Jew, he had everything that you could possibly want, every character. His identity was that which he thought he was till he met Jesus. Then his identity changed, and that's why the Bible tells us that, behold, all things have become new. The old things have passed away. You have a new identity now, a new place to go. And so when you're where you are set in life, whether you live in California, you live in Pennsylvania, you live in Ohio, you live in Florida, you just moved out here, you're just going there, you know, everything. My daughter just moved to Tennessee, you know, and everything. And so, I mean, it's the identity that where you are, you need to have the identity of Jesus Christ. That's why I tell my daughter, you need to find a good church there. I mean, there's a church everywhere in Cleveland, Tennessee. I mean, you know, I think there even restaurants have churches in them in Cleveland, Tennessee. The point being is, well, I think they do because I read somebody on Twitter the other day that said that this is the greatest life I've ever had. I'm sitting here reading a book in Cracker Barrel and having a breakfast, and can't be any better than this. Life can't be better than this. And I thought, man, life could be a whole lot better if you were in church, you know. But then I thought, well, maybe that is church. Who knows, you know. But anyhow, but what I'm saying to you is that you have to have an identity. That's what I'm telling my daughter. You need to go to church so you keep your identity of Christ. the importance of it, the beauty of who Jesus is. Now, God didn't make us clones. Every one of us are different in this room, if you haven't noticed. Every one of us is different. Everyone has a fingerprint that's different. Every one of us have retinas that are different. There's no exact replica at all. The only exact replica that lived on this earth was Jesus, who was the express, Hebrews 1 and 3, the express image of God. He was the perfect image of who God is. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. You and I, we're challenged by the Holy Spirit every day to represent God the best way we can. Amen. And to have him in our life overflowing to where we just overflow onto other people's lives. You know, when you walk away from somebody, you should hope that they would say, man, I feel better. I feel good that I was around that person. And if we go over to Leviticus 20 and 22, he said, you shall therefore keep all my statute and all my judgments before them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. In other words, he's saying, keep it together, or where I'm taking you to, I'm blessing. And if you don't do this, that land is going to push you out. And if you study the lives of the Israelites, that's exactly what the land did to them. They went from being blessed to cursed. They went from being in Canaan to Babylon. They went to having the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory leading them to having King Nebuchadnezzar lead them. They went to all these different areas. They couldn't pray. They couldn't go to temple. They couldn't do worship. They couldn't sacrifice. They had to hide and pray. Daniel got in trouble because he was praying. They put him in the lion's den. They put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace because they were acting out who they were. See, we're in America now. We don't want to act out who we are because we could lose everything we have. I tell you, it's better to lose everything you have than to gain the world and lose your soul. Someone say amen there, because I know I'm preaching pretty good this morning. And you know what? This is definitely a stake message. But I want you to know something, how important it is that we would grab a hold of our identity in Christ. His identity in you and I. These young people going back to school, my God, walk on that campus as though you're a Christian. If there's no Christian club, start one. If there's no prayer around the flag, start it. If there's no prayer around the outside fellowship area or the gathering area or the group area, don't hang out with the cliques. Make everyone join in and make Jesus the center of the attention there. Let them know that you are born again, a spirit-filled believer. You know, you can do that in church. But when we go into these school systems and we go into our work, we just kind of take off our Christian ID, hang it in our locker, and put on our work ID, and we walk in there like everything, like, yeah, I'm just like the rest of the bunch. You're not like the rest of the bunch. Don't just be a banana. Be the apple in the bag of bananas, whatever it may be, but be different. Praise God, and let people see you love Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, and then we need to go just two more verses, and then I'm going to preach. In John 14 and 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And also in John 17 and 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. You know, what you see in these scriptures, I'm sure you've noticed, but let me just say the three stages are there. First stage is, who am I? Second stage is, what am I? The third stage, where am I? Sometimes I wonder about, I'm my own walk with God. I've sat down and said, God, I don't even know who I am anymore. Sometimes struggles make you get like that. Sometimes where you feel you want success so badly and you see failure around you, God, who am I? You know, or what am I? Or where am I? What's happening in my life? I mean, I'm just being open with you today. I don't know, maybe you've never prayed those kind of prayers. I mean, I prayed every prayer I could think of to God, just, you know, say, hey, God, you know, and the greatest prayer I've ever prayed to him, you've heard me say this, I don't know how many times, is a one-word prayer. Help! I don't want to be long and do on some floral thing like, oh God, the billowing clouds today and the sun piercing down as the warm rays touch my face. My feet are standing, it seems, on the sands of faith. And Father, the breeze against my faith is like the Holy Spirit just brushing by me, and I sense the brush of angels' wings, oh God, and I must be standing here in a holy place. I want to talk to you. Help! I'd rather get to the help and tell him that I need some help. I can't identify. I'm not identifying. Something's not right. Something doesn't feel good. You see, there's an individual identity which identifies our corporate partnership here today. I know that sounds pretty professional, corporate partnership. When I wrote that down, I thought, but then the Holy Spirit said, no, use it. It's good. I like that. So, corporate partnership is the fact that you and I are here today. We have an identity. We're all from different backgrounds. You know. I'm an ex-Roman Catholic, Irish, Euro guy, man. You know. Cleveland, Ohio, street kid. Now I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I mean, you gotta love God, man. He has gotta have this comedy hour going on up in heaven. You know, I am sure of it. I'm sure that, you know, like how we watch the sitcoms down here, they're probably up there in heaven, and it's the Dennis Adams Family Show coming on. You know, and everybody stops in heaven, they all get over and they put the recorders on and they watch it. You know what I mean? Say, look at this old Catholic kid preaching now in the Pentecostal church. My God, look what we can do. You see, we can have a new identity. It's the identity that God wants us to have is what we need to understand in our life. It's well, who he wants us to become, we have to grab a hold of and embrace in our life to know that he is God and he's almighty. That he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the father of lights, the God of Israel. And it gives us true identity to know him like that. To know him not just by words, but by reality. I like what Dr. Larry said today about the fact of it literally saying going by feelings. Man, sometimes going by feelings, I don't even want to go outside. I'm afraid I get out the door, I may do something to get me in trouble publicly. That's how I'm feeling. You know. Sometimes I just feel like getting outside, you know. I just want to get out there and just join the world, praise God, because I feel so good. So you can go on opposite sides of the spectrum. Sometimes when I get down to preach on Saturday and I get there, I'm hoping Stefan will say to me, you know, would you let me preach today? I'm going to go, yeah, you do it today, because I'm not in the mood to preach. But then I get up and I preach because you've got to just go with what God has you to identify with. Sometimes if you can't go by your feelings. You know, sometimes I'm in worship and I'm sitting there saying, God, I want to worship, but I just don't feel like it. And then Dr. Larry says something and it's like the Holy Spirit goes, you know what? What do you think about that? And bam, my hands are up in the air. I love you, God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to worship you. You know, we just have to have that who am I life in our life. We need to ask God, who am I? Who am I? Don't give your own answer to that, because in our own egos of our life, we go, I'm special. You know, I'm just a great guy. Best husband my wife could ever want. And all those things. You weren't supposed to respond there, honey. Anyhow. We have to be positive with God. It's easy to be negative. You know, in our human nature is really a negative nature, because it is before Christ, is a cursed nature. You know, we just simply, I don't know, we want to always point out what's wrong instead of what's right. But with God and his word, we begin to identify with him. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in Matthew in chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, where Jesus is describing, you know, if you go ahead and you get your right identity and you build that identity and your character all of a sudden is based on the rock, when the storms of life comes, when that storm is over, you still have your identity, you still have your Christian character, and you are still standing on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the rock, and you're there founded in him. You've been taken out of the miry clay, you've been put on a rock, your steps have been established, you got a new song in your heart, you got all these things going, and you can say, who am I then? I am a Christian. When the storm hits, but you know what? Your character is flawed when you start building on the sands of the world, trying to identify with the world. Because whether you know it or not, and I'm certainly not trying to say that this is a brand new thought to any of you, unless your head's buried in the sand, and I mean that to go along with the sand here, is what I'm saying, is that we literally, there is a lot of storms going on right now. Storms are everywhere. I'm going through a storm. People are going through a storm. The enemy is being relentless right now in his attacks and coming after families and coming after people. Storms are everywhere. Well, if the storm begins, the storm will end, but God will take you through the storm. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Get on the rock. Not on the world, the sands of the world. But listen, the answer is not the world and all its theories and facts and scientific proofs. It's not the world that'll take you through. What'll take you through a storm is knowing who Jesus Christ is and moving forward in faith and believing God will heal, deliver, save, sanctify, bless, prosper. And even if he doesn't, you're still going to love him. You're still going to care for him. You're still going to praise him because he is God. Amen. No matter how you feel. I mean, God cares about your feelings, but what he really cares about is your confession of faith. When you start confessing that what you feel, you can confess your way right out of a happy relationship with God. You can be bummed out terribly. Or you can be happy, like my wife said today, full of joy and knowing that joy is something good. Having a heart that's bubbling over with joy is good. And having the depth and riches of Jesus Christ in your life is good. Just knowing that you're saved should bring joy into your life. Knowing that you're no longer on your way to hell, but you're on your way to heaven. Knowing that when you die, which by the way, it's going to happen, unless you're Enoch or Elijah, but what I'm trying to say to you right now, and if you are, let's talk after service, but I want to tell you right now, but if this is true, you know, and since it's true, and what you know is true by the word of God, when you die, you're going to look right in the face of Jesus. Praise God. He's there. You're going to come right into the presence of Jesus. But if you're not saved and you die, you kind of go right into the presence of hell. And there's no escape. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to tell you, you should be happy you're saved. Amen. I've preached over in Europe. I've preached in impoverished areas where people were struggling and they could not literally live because they didn't have any money and it was terrible and everything else. But they were so happy they're saved. So thankful that they got a Savior. Somebody that loves them and cares for them. And their identity is in Jesus. It's not their identity is not how much they have in the bank. Not what house they live in. Not what color their skin is or their ethnic background at all, or who they are, or who their grandparents were, if they're 5th or 6th or 12th or 13th or 14th and whatever generation Church of God you could become. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say to you is that your identity is not how much the car costs. It's not how many bedrooms are in the house. It's not what university you graduated from. It's not about anything at all. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about the love of God that's placed in your heart by the power and the anointing of God, because you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died on Calvary's cross, shed his precious pure blood, that you would be saved. And you've confessed and said, I am a sinner. Forgive me my sin. You've invited him into your heart. For all those that have called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. Now the enemy, he goes around and he wants to blur your identity. John 10:10 says it. It simply says that he'll steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to blur your identity. He wants you to feel bad all the time, so you can go by feelings. He wants you to feel bad. When you feel good, you wouldn't even recognize it. You think about that for a moment, okay? Because, you know, it's feeling pretty bad, but I meet some people who feel pretty bad. Amen. And I want you to know that he'll go around and he'll try to steal every blessing that you have. He'll try to steal everything about your whole life. He'll try to steal your testimony. He'll try to ruin your honest integrity. He'll try to ruin your reputation. The devil will do all he possibly can to take your identity and rub it in the mud so you don't look at all good anymore. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. He said, if you come to me, I'm going to give you life. And I'm going to give you life more abundantly, praise God. I'm going to do that to the full till it overflows. He's going to give you a Psalm 23. I'm going to sit down in the midst of my enemies and we're going to have lunch, Jesus. And you're going to pour into my cup. It's going to overflow. And you're going to anoint my head with oil. And when I'm done, I'm going to head towards church. And when I'm heading towards church, I'm going to see goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. And praise God, when I get there to church, I'm going to hang out there forever and ever, praise God. Hallelujah. It's so important that we understand that what we have in our life, God wants us to have. And what we have in our life as a Christian, the devil doesn't want us to have. At all. At all. My neighbor yesterday had an accident. It's the craziest thing. Many of you have been up to my home, and if not, you're all invited. It's a little curve in the road. Car flipped over, smashed flat. She's standing there. It's a miracle. Tow trucks everywhere, cars backed up everywhere. And you got to understand, I live in the mountains, and you just don't see two tow trucks there, and everybody's standing around. But it's kind of cool, because everybody's standing around talking about what's happening. You know, she's standing there, it's all right. But my point being is, you know, when it was all said and done, tow truck driver, getting ready to go, they're talking about words. And there's this guy, one of our neighbors. He gets in his car and he starts screaming, when are you going to move that car? I thought to myself, wow, there's a lot of the world around here. There's a lot of people like that that act like that even in church. In other words, I want my time now. It doesn't matter if her car's flattened out on the roof, that she should be flattened out. But she crawled out the window. She's okay. She got cuts on her elbow and cuts on her knee. He was more wanting to get up the road, five houses. You know, it's amazing to me, but I love what the tow truck driver, big old dude, man, I loved it. I kind of got this spiritual thing happening when all this is happening. I pictured this tow truck driver as this big old Michael the Archangel, man, walking down and bending into this little guy's Prius, man. I said, what are you doing?
She just had an accident. Her car's flattened. She could have been killed. Why are you so impatient? I wanted to say, would you come to church and say that? Would you just come to church and say that? And like, hurry up, preacher. Let's not be so impatient, in other words, in our life. Let's always remember that God is doing something. But let me tell you something. Holy Spirit said to me, go home. I walked in the house. I told Kathy, and Becky was visiting. She helped at the ministry yesterday, and her two sons were there. Will, and I don't remember the other kid's name. But anyhow, but they were there, and literally, you know, I told them, I said, I'm going over there. I'm going to go over to her house. She lived right next door to me. I'm going to go see if she's all right, you know. So what I did is I washed some dishes, gave her a little time to get home and settle it down a little bit. Tow truck driver took the car up there. Then it left with the car. But I walked up the driveway, big hill. It's not an easy walk. I was at the top saying, why didn't I drive my car up this hill? You know, but anyhow, it's a big walk. And I got there, and there she was. She said, oh, come on in. I talked to her for about a half hour, make sure she didn't have a concussion. She wasn't falling asleep. She was okay. She was fluid with her words. She didn't slur. Nothing happened. Watching her reaction. She doesn't know I was there doing that. I was talking about computer programming. She knows I'm a pastor, but she's a computer programmer, so I'm going to talk to her on her level, get it all going. We were talking about C, C++, Java, Linux, Unix, Ubuntu, Red Hat. We were talking about all the stuff that's going on in all the different places and Access and FileMaker Pro. We were on this conversation forever, man, and she was answering all the questions, and I was going back and forth. She was fluid. She was okay. So when I left, I really felt like the Lord showed me something and said, you saw somebody hurting, and you took time away from what you could be doing, and you went to find them. And I thought, isn't that what the Good Samaritan did? Took time away of what he was doing just to make sure somebody was okay. Oh God, give us that back in the church again. To where we're concerned about the hurting, concerned about the lost, concerned about the things that we know that are right in our life. You know, and I think sometimes that we forget that God has a plan for our life, and that we need to trust him in that plan, because sometimes, and believe me, I really believe God has a destiny for my wife and I. I believe that. There's no two ways about it. We both have the same destiny. We're twain together as one. We are a family. We're pastors. She's the co-pastor of this church. We work together. We're there. Everything like that. I have a believe that. But then sometimes the plans that we hope are going to be there just don't seem to unfold like we want them to. Don't look at me like I'm a new gate and you're a cow and you're looking at me, how am I going to get through this gate? I'm trying to tell you something right now, that literally sometimes we simply want God's plan to be exactly how we have designed it. God has designed a plan for us, and sometimes we got to go down a road that's a little difficult. It's really hard. And you're wondering, God, why do I have to go down this road? And I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you the real reason why. And you can write it down. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please listen to this. God is trying to get your character shaped so your destiny will be pure. Right. It's not God's fault you're going down that road. He's just trying to get you to where you don't have to go down that road anymore. It's so important that we see that and understand that. Of course, I like what Kathy said today. I love what she said about, you know, we read the Bible and we see how they really lived in the Bible. And then, but when we look out in our life today and we see how everybody's teaching you how to live. So in other words, if you don't have a brand new car and you don't have at least $100,000 in the bank, there's something wrong with your faith. Friend, you can't take that with you. And if you got it and you die, just give it over to me and I'll hang out with it for a while, but I'll give it to somebody else when I was. Let's just pay it forward. I'm just joking. But anyhow, we have to understand that it's there. Am I making sense this morning? Amen. Thank you. One person. Okay. So thank God. Somebody give her a $20 bill. Anyhow, But there are times where we struggle. Paul went through a struggle. Let me read you the scriptures that resonate in my life every day. I took it out of the Amplified Version because I wanted it just to make sense to everybody, because these scriptures are hard to understand sometimes if you really don't see it amplified. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now that I have attained this ideal, or have already been made perfect. Let me start over again. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You got to look at these words, forgetting and straining. We want to always bring our past into our future. For some reason, we're real comfortable with this past. These past successes or these past failures or something about our character that we want to bring into the character that God is trying to make us into. But we have to strain. And he goes on and he says this: I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. I love that part. I love that part, that Jesus Christ is calling us upward. We press. Do you ever feel like your life's a press? Where you just kind of, it's like you're pushing against something. You're pushing against the enemy. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to have a good destiny. He doesn't want you to do the things that are right. He doesn't want you to feel like God's doing it. He wants you to feel like you're doing it. So he's doing all he can to mess you up. Just remember, you're nothing without Jesus, but with Jesus, you're everything. Amen. I had this guy say to me one day out loud, "Hurry up, preacher. We're starved. I'm starving." And man, I wanted to react. I just wanted to just react. You know, the old flesh of Dennis Adams wanted to jump up and, you know, never mind. But I hushed and the Holy Spirit said, "Okay, I'll give you the words in just a few minutes." So I'm over there and I'm preaching. So I use them as an illustration. I said, "I just heard someone say they were starving. I want you to know this is America. You can't starve in this country. We are 27 miles away from the breadbasket of the world, the Salinas Valley. You can't starve here. Every place in this city, there is somebody feeding twice a day for free. You can't starve here. If you want to know what's starving, go to Africa. Go to these places where there is no water. There is nothing to drink but filthy, dirty, diseased water. And there's just no food. And the only meal they're getting is somebody is bringing rice. And somehow another purified water is being brought in. You see little babies with stomachs being bloated out because they're starving. If you go there, you say you're starving, then you're starving." The guy's looking at me like, "Okay." And then I said this. I said, "But it's a good thing to say you're hungry. Because everybody can be hungry in America, but you're just not going to starve. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We have to understand and we have to know that there is a time in our life that we don't have to say to God spiritually, 'I'm starving, God. There is so much word in this nation. There's been so many preachers preach. So many great teachers teach. There's been so many great worship leaders like Dr. Larry that will sit around and just really play a tremendous song like ever to sing, you know, play and worship the Lord, and others that sing in his praise team, and my wife and Becky and others that are part of this church. And I can go down a list all over this nation of people that I know that have brought forth God's word. It's just what's happening is in America, we have heard it, but we haven't identified with it. We haven't made it our identity. It has gone in one ear and out the other. And or we've got the attitude, I've heard the greatest preaching in the world. It hasn't changed me at all. If God's upset with America, it's because we've heard it. We've heard the greatest of preachers. We've heard the most dynamic messages. We've sung the most dynamic, anointed, God-given songs. Like the simple song of Amazing Grace, or Here I Am to Worship, the Revelation song. We've heard, we've sung and everything else, but we got this attitude towards God like we're wanting more, we're starving. Oh no, I'm so full I can't take any more. But give it to me anyhow, God. Give it to me anyway. I'm going to close now, and I'm going to give you a list of things that you have to understand that's there. First of all, who am I? I'm a child of God, John 1:12. I'm a friend to Jesus, John 15:15. I'm an adopted into the family of God, Romans chapter 8. I am a royal priest in service to God, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I'm a part of a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2 and 9. I am a part of the body of Christ, 2 Corinthians 12, 27. I am a saint unto God, Ephesians 1, 1. I am a vessel of honor, 2 Timothy 2, 20. I am a prisoner of Christ, Ephesians 3, 1. I am a partaker with Christ, Hebrews 3, 14. Who am I? What am I? I am saved, Romans 10:13. I am sanctified, John 17:19. I am holy, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. I am righteous, Ephesians 4:24. I am forgiven, Colossians 1:14. I am empowered by his spirit. Praise God, Philippians 4:13. I am alive in Christ, Colossians 2:13. I am an overcomer, Revelations 12:11. I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. I am healed, Isaiah 53 and 5. I am the head and not the tail, Deuteronomy 28, 13. I am blessed, Psalm 84, 4. I am mighty in God, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. I am a soldier in God's army, 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. I am hidden in Christ, Colossians 3 and 4. Where am I? In the presence of God, Colossians 1 and 22. In the palm of his hand, John 10 and 29. In the throne of grace, Hebrews 4, 16. In the shadow of God, Psalm 91 and 1. In the pavilion of God, Psalm 27 and 5. In God's will, John 7, 17. In heavenly places, Ephesians 2 and 6. Hid with Christ, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Beyond the torn veil, Hebrews 6, 19. In the courts, giving thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. At his altars, rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, sheltered in his love, Exodus 33:21. In my prayer room, praying, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In the house of the Lord, Psalm 23:6. Living in faith, Hebrews 11:1. Praise God. If that doesn't get your happy going, please check your happy button. Let me tell you something right now, because this is who we are. This is what I am, and this is where I am, and the devil ain't invited. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. My closing remark, you are a Christian. You're blessed of God. You may be in a storm right now, but he's there with you, and you're going to make it. You may be surrounded by the enemy, but God is surrounding them. Remember what Elijah's servant said. We can't go out there. There's armies everywhere. He said, go back out there and look again. When he was leaving, he said, God, show my servant what I know what's there. He looked up and he saw angels all around. The army that was so fearful and afraid of, angels of God were all around there. Elijah walked out. Not anything was struck. Nothing was done. God blinded all those folks. He took them where he needed and released them in the prison where they were. That's what's going on. Look up beyond. I look to the help. The hills, whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 121. and one. God blesses your coming in, blesses your going out. You may be by a river ready to quit, but God has an angel to feed you. Elijah just did a miracle, 63 prayers and fire falls from heaven. Oh God, how I'd like to have that miracle. He runs and now he's by a river and he prays a prayer. God, kill me. I'm no better than my fathers. Storm was raging. He was ready to give up, but God sent an angel to feed him. You may have witnessed your father of faith diminishing or being taken up in the presence of God, but a new anointing is upon you. Elijah looked at Elijah going up into heaven and he was like worried. Oh, what am I going to do? The cloak fell. He got a double anointing. Struck the river and it separated. Came across. And there he was with all the members of the school of prophets. He was now anointed to lead. Come on, folks. Quit looking at your King Uzziah's in this world. Start looking up to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. The angels are before him singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We got our eyes on men. Stop looking at men. Look at God. Your anointing draweth nigh. Amen. You may have witnessed your father of faith diminishing, yes. But you also may be in a cave thinking you're the only one left. God will draw you out of that cave. I got 7,000 just like you. Don't feel so alone. Get rid of that lonely thing you got happening. That isolation. The devil wants to isolate you. Get you all alone like you're the only one. Tell you what, you need friends. We all need each other. We can't do this alone. Just want you to be aware that there's three stages of identity that you have to come to grips with in your life. Fathers, raise your children to identify with Christ. Parents, raise your families to identify with Christ. Have who you are in you at all times, which is Jesus, and show him to your friends, because you may be the only Jesus they ever see. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be in church. So today I want to challenge you not to throw this message away, not to say that, okay, we've heard you preach today, not to say, okay, we've heard another message. But what I want to challenge you to do is to answer questions. Who am I? What am I? And where am I?